This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Baseball in this segment. The winter meetings open Sunday in Las Vegas. Activity has picked up. Most of the biggest ticket free agents yet to make their moves, beyond Patrick Corbin, and quite the move that was. They're paying Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin for the next several years. Maybe they'll win a playoff series, one of them. We won't be Astros-centric, but we'll be Astros-heavy. There's a gap between those two concepts. As we welcome Richard Justice, senior correspondent of MLB.com. It's been a few weeks, I think, since the end of the World Series, in fact. Richard, happy holidays to you. What are your thoughts on the Astros offseason limited in activity to this point, the Robinson-Chirinos signing for behind the plate? And what do you think objective number one is or should be as Jeff Luhnow et al. Head to the desert?
Well, thank you for having me, Charlie, and same to you. I think Jeff Luhnow has taken his kind of his usual approach. I think he has cast a very wide net. He talked to the Diamondbacks about Paul Goldschmidt. He talked to the Mariners about James Paxton, to the Marlins about JT Realmuto. And I think what that tells me is he's just looking for upgrades. I think the one thing he cannot go to spring training without is getting one more veteran starting pitcher. Even though you look at Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, Colin McHugh, you know, you have to churn the roster at some point. So that means Forrest Whitley's going to have to pitch at some point. J.B. Bukakis is going to have to pitch. But you do need some more depth, some guarantees. The interesting one is the outfield. I think he's looking at an outfielder. But I think at the end of the day, there is a point, you know, you want young players to tell you when they're ready. You don't tell them. Well, Kyle Tucker has done everything he can at AAA. There's no need to go back. And some of the inside numbers are, there was one hole in his swing. He may have fixed that. But he hit 11 balls, 100 miles an hour or something harder, and got two singles out of it when the league, I think, hits 800 on those balls. And so one veteran starter. And then I think he's got to take care of the DH. I thought Nelson Cruz was a perfect fit from day one. But I think Jeff is not going to get panicked. He's made it clear. He's not going to trade Whitley. He's not going to trade Tucker for the players that are available. And, you know, Jeff doesn't panic. You know, like, I know he wanted Goldschmidt, but he wasn't willing to sell out the farm. He wanted Paxton, but there were places he wouldn't go. I think what he looks at is he's got a team that's going to win the American League West next year and is going to have Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, hopefully, in games one and two of the playoffs. You know, Colin McHugh's a different guy with that cutter now. But you know, you would like to add depth. So I guess that's a long-winded way of saying starting pitcher, DH, and just looking to upgrade wherever he can.
Dallas Keuchel, the team that I saw most specifically linked to him is Cincinnati. Now, I will never, ever, Richard, begrudge a player taking every last dollar he can get. But, geez, if you go to the Reds, I hope Dallas Keuchel won't say at the press conference, I'm here because I think we can win.
Well, I hope he's not there. You know, he is a soft contact guy. He's a ground ball guy. And you better keep it on the ground there because it flies out. I think the Braves have a lot of interest in Dallas. I think the Phillies and Yankees both want Jay Happ. They're not both going to get Jay Happ. And I think if Philly doesn't get him, Keuchel rises to the top of their list. I also think the Angels are lurking out there somewhere. You know, Dallas is represented by Scott Boras, who is the most methodical agent in the history of the game, and I know what he's done. He has set a certain bar, and he's going to try to reach that bar. And no one does plays the waiting game longer than Scott Boras. And what we're having now, and the reason I say it's going to work out fine for Dallas is that there are more teams seeking starting pitching than there are starting pitchers available. And I think with Eovaldi and Corbin off the market, it's Dallas's turn.
The sport is so cash flush. You think Keuchel gets $100 million? I would presume that is a Boras bar.
Yeah, I would say 80 for sure. I mean, we're not in an era of $30 million a year starting pitchers anymore. But 20, you know, in the 20-25 area, I mean, what did Jose Altuve got? 5 years, 125. I could see Dallas getting 3 years at 80 or something like that. I don't really know. It's going to be, you know, when you have the, like the Phillies have said, we have money, and if we have to be stupid with it, we're going to be stupid with it. Well, when Scott Boras reads that, he thinks, well, okay, let's be unreasonable.
Well, Corbin got the sixth year, so in the case of a Keuchel, if there's a team that'll offer a fifth year guaranteed above that type of stuff.
That's right, and I'm sure you probably said, wait, Nathan Eovaldi got 4 years?
Yeah.
But that's what the free market is. Teams are flush with cash now, a lot of them, and what the Red Sox looked at it is, we don't care. We intend to get C. Pierce back on this team, and we intend to have Nathan Eovaldi back on this team, and we're going to do it. And if the bidding gets competitive, you know, teams like the Red Sox, they have so much money coming in, you know, they're not going to be limited by what they can do.
Yeah, Kimbrel's their only remaining question, right?
Right, right.
Charlie Morton, I basically heard nothing, right? The thinking going into the offseason, I really didn't buy much into the retirement, but Charlie certainly is his own guy, but maybe that Philly, D.C. corridor, his wife is from Delaware, that part of the country, and obviously returning to the Astros because he'd be a shorter-term contract type guy at his age and the health questions. But has there been much at all in terms of, I don't know, material scuttlebutt, if such a phrase is valid?
Yeah, I think the Nationals really would like to get Charlie. And they feel like you said, the geography works out there. As you know, Charlie has a great affinity for what the Astros did for him. I think he remains a possibility. I mean, if you look at the available starters, who would you rather have than Charlie Morton? I mean, he's a big-time guy. You know, you're going to have to project with Anibal Sanchez and Matt Harvey and all these guys. That'll be an interesting one. If I had to put a dollar on it, I would say Charlie is the most likely addition to the Astros rotation. But, you know, you don't know how the Astros feel about the state of his right shoulder, and you also don't know what other teams are willing to do. The Nationals have made it clear they're going to be pretty involved. Now, can they spend big for another starting pitcher? Their ownership, the Lerner family, has the deepest pockets in baseball. Why not? They're tired of not winning a playoff series.
Talking with Richard Justice, MLB.com, Marwin Gonzalez, who Scott Boras rushed out. We've heard from 14 teams already.
Yes.
I think as a matter of value, if someone's going to give Marwin, say, 4 years, $48 million, hey, Aledmys Diaz at $2.5 million. But in terms of how it nets out the baseball side of it for 2019, what do you think? Marwin out, Diaz in?
You mean, did the Astros upgrade?
Well, I don't think they upgraded, but given the cost,
right,
subject to
right.
what they do next.
Yeah, that's right. And when you look at the options, you know, Tony Kemp's going to play a big role in that, and Gurriel's going to move around the diamond, and Diaz can move around the diamond. Ultimately, it's going to for one thing about Marwin, Marwin's a hot name on the market, and it's a hot name because everybody's looking for that Ben Zobrist type player, which obviously he is. And also, like you said, it's not going to be insane money. You know, Charlie, we get accustomed to seeing players change uniforms. That's going to be a weird one for me to see him in a see him in a new uniform. A couple of years ago in spring training, you think of it's just a business. We're used to players changing teams. I'm walking with Jerry Hunsicker on a back diamond at Dodgers spring training. He comes upon the sight of Sergio Romo, who pitched a million big games for the Giants against the Dodgers. And Jerry just stops. Sergio Romo is throwing a bullpen, and he looks at me and goes, that's going to take some getting used to. And that's the way I feel about Marwin. When I see him in another uniform, that's going to take some getting used to.
Plucked as a Rule 5 from the Red Sox by Jeff Luhnow, and here we are the 7 years later. A couple of other things before I let you go. Do you think the Indians trade Kluber or Bauer now that they've extended Carrasco, or do they just put their line in the water to see if anyone came with just a killer offer?
No, it's about money. They're going to trade him. And where they trade him, I don't know.
Meaning Kluber?
I think Kluber is more likely to be traded than Bauer when you just look at the efficiency and what you're getting for the dollars. I do. I think the Dodgers are, despite having about 14 starting pitchers, I think the Dodgers have some interest in doing that. I think you got to keep an eye on Kluber could be traded. Bumgarner, I just think we're in a different era now. You know, if emotion ruled, Bumgarner would never be traded. Kluber would never be traded. But as the Indians grew as a franchise in terms of wins, the attendance didn't grow, and so they've got to cut back on some money. And they're finding a very good market for him. Phillies, maybe even the Yankees. He's going to be moving on.
Guess on Bryce Harper.
I can make a guess on Manny Machado. That's Phillies. And our Phillies are Yankees. And I think I would have thought Harper had a great chance to go to the Cardinals. With the Dodgers saber-rattling, and I think it's going to be the Dodgers or Phillies. And I think if the Phillies don't get Machado, they definitely get Harper. And they could outside chance of getting both with the idea of getting Trout in 2 years.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Could they be a sleeper on Harper if Artie Moreno
says,
all right, Pujols has only 3 years left on his contract now, and, geez, it's a two-year ticking time bomb on Trout.
Yeah, and there is a there are legitimately sleepers. The White Sox have a bunch of money to spend. They have a bunch of good young players, and they would like to send a message to their fans and the people who don't watch their games on TV. Hey, it's okay to turn our games on. So, you know, as you know, Scott Boras is playing with Harper, is playing every single angle, and he loves the fact that the Dodgers haven't said no, even though when you look at where the Dodgers are, they have about 9 starting pitchers and 8 starting outfielders. You don't understand how it works out, but stranger things have happened.
All right, away from the personnel stuff, when all said and done this offseason, Richard, Rob Manfred huffing and puffing a little bit louder on we need to do something about shifts. Do you think, I guess, A, something will be done, and then B, if we just put it on your plate, what would you do?
I would not touch it. I would let the game evolve. You know, Charlie, if you had an NBA player on today, if you had James Harden on today, you'd say, hey, could you explain to me the NBA defensive rules? And he would go into how they've changed every year for the last 3 years, and I think this, and I think that. Same thing, an NFL cornerback. What's the rules now? I think when you start monkeying with the rules, you know what's going to happen? You have Joe West walk over and say, you have to stand 7 inches that way. And then Joe's going to walk away, and the guy's going to move back. I just think, let's see where it evolves. We figured out the first answer to the shifts was to hit the ball in the air. I don't think the game is hurting. I think the game should be played at a crisper pace. That's what the data of people watching at home on TV says. But I, rather than just play God with the rules, I would just like to see how everybody adjusts to the rules.
And because it would need to be collectively bargained with the players, that means nothing will happen, you think?
Yeah. I mean, well, the free agent market's better. We understood why it didn't happen last year. It was toxic. But I'll say this about the 20-second shot clock, the 20-second pitch clock or whatever it was. It's almost being implemented a little bit at a time because the players who come up work at a quicker pace. And if you're Justin Verlander and you're David Price, and you've been taught to slow the game down, do it one way, I can understand why they don't want something as radical as that. Having said all that, I've talked to 100 scouts that go to the fall league and go to the minor leagues. The pitch clock disappears after 5 minutes in the ballpark. They just play faster. I once took a speed reading class in college. The first thing the woman said was, read faster. Okay, now you've just increased your reading by 20%. Some of that is just like, okay, let's play faster, boys.
Yeah, all of the sturm and drang over the mound visits rule largely turned out to be much ado about nothing. We're adaptive creatures. We're adaptive creatures. Everyone would settle into the pitch clock just as we didn't have catchers and managers freaking out over the counting of mound trips this past year. Richard Justice, MLB.com to read his stuff on an ongoing basis. Enjoy the winter meetings and hope to speak with you a little deeper into the offseason. Thanks as always, Richard.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, break to take. Come back. We'll close out the show ahead of the usual suspects. Top of the hour on ESPN 97.5, Stephen A. Smith Show on Sports Map 94.1.
25 letters on my dissing. I got to get paid.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.